please. Galatians chapter 1. I want to take for a thought this morning that there are levels to knowing God. It's not that you simply you know him or you don't. There are degrees to how much you know him. And having raised two girls, and anyone who's raised children, you know that in those first years, the children are amazingly, they learn so fast. They're learning everything. The first two or three years, they start from zero. All they know how to do at zero is breathe. And then little by little, they learn, and then continue to learn up until they're about, 15, 16 years old. And because they've learned so much, they suddenly think that they've learned all there is to know. And at 16, they stop learning as fast because of what they have already learned. How many know what I'm talking about? And we as Christians can do the same thing. When you're born again, your knowledge base begins to expand so rapidly as you learn the ways of the Lord. But we get to a place that what we know can hinder us from learning anything else because of what we already know. And just like the 16-year-old that thinks they know everything, when in fact they know nothing, we as Christians often we can glory in what we've already learned, not realizing God is an infinite being. You could learn about him for 1 billion years and still have only scratched the surface of who he is. And so my point to you this morning as we move through this is that there are degrees, there are levels to knowing God. How many know the Lord? How many would just say, I know him. I know the Lord. And you should. If you're born again, you should know him. But that does not mean that there's not more that you can learn. There are levels to this. So if we look at the book of Galatians chapter 1, and I'll begin reading with verse 15. Paul writes, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him amongst the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for the offering that we'll be receiving today. We ask you, Lord, to bless the families, bless the individuals, Lord, that support this ministry, those that have so graciously supported our Pakistani effort. Oh, God, open the very windows of heaven. Pour out your blessing upon their lives in such a way that you meet their need, not merely financially, but in every aspect of their life and living. And Father, I yield myself to you now. I ask you that you'd move in my heart, move through my lips, anoint the ears of your people that they might hear the intent of the Holy Spirit through this sermon. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name, thanking you for your grace. Amen and amen. Paul wrote the book of Galatians. He wrote it some time after his conversion, but in the first two or three chapters, he's talking about what happened to him in the first two or three years of his salvation experience. It's in this book that he mentions that he's caught up to the third heaven. He sees things that are unspeakable, meaning human language cannot describe some of the things that he saw. At this specific time, I think Paul probably knew more about God than anyone on the planet. He had the deepest revelation of anyone that we know on the planet. And here he says that when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. Now, he's not saying that he's revealed Christ in you. That's not what the language is saying. He gave me an inner revelation of who Christ is. He gave me an inward awakening of the character of this one called Jesus Christ. And I think many times you and I as Christians, we can read the book, we can examine the four gospels, we have a good base understanding, and because we know the history of Jesus Christ, we assume that that is the knowledge of who he is and his character. And it's not, that's just history, and it's good. And we should know the history, we should study that, and we should examine it. But that's not the same as knowing who he is. To know who he is causes you to begin to venture out into the pre-incarnation, before he's incarnate. Who is he as God? Are you with me? When you look at the Apostle John, John was one of the first apostles, really the first apostle to begin to follow Jesus. He was with John the Baptist, and he transferred over, and he began to follow Jesus before any of the rest of them. And he was not only knew Jesus the longest, he was perhaps the closest to Jesus. He was the one that when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, everybody looked in John and said, John, you ask him. You know him better, you ask him. And which he did. And so John had an immense understanding of who Jesus was, but when he saw him on the Isle of Patmos, he realized that what I knew about him is just scratching the surface of who he is. Because the one that I walked with was in a fleshly body, and I knew some of his personalities, his teaching, the history of his ministry, but I never seen this one whose eyes are like a flame of fire and his hair is white like wool. I don't know anything about this one. And so John is an example of learning about Jesus Christ by degrees. Just because you've mastered this level does not mean you've mastered that level or that you've mastered the level above it. And so the impetus then is that we should continue to grow not only in grace but in the knowledge, the knowing, the knowledge of the Lord. Now, it would be some 12 years later that Paul would write the book of Philippians. And he says something in Philippians that really stands out to me. And it's somewhat lost in all of the words. And so I'll read it and then I'll paraphrase it. But in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. Now, Paul wrote this about 25 years after his conversion. 25 years. It was probably 10 or 12 years after he wrote Galatians. He says in verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of the of his sufferings being made conformable to his death. Now, Paul packed a lot in there. And so I'm just going to read just the phrases that I want to point out to you today. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things, all my achievements, everything that I've accomplished, I do count them but loss. He goes on to say, I do count them but dung. Verse 8, so that I might know him. Now understand what's happening here. This is the man, he's been caught up to the third heaven, which, by the way, none of us have. He's written the New Testament. He's had God reveal, give him an inner revelation of who Christ is. And now some 25 years later, after all of that knowledge, he says, I count everything I have but dung that I might know him. You would think, well, Paul, by now, don't you know him? I mean, Paul, you've healed the sick. You've cast out devils. You've raised the dead. Don't you know him by now? And the point is, there's levels to this. Paul, at that time, he was writing the New Testament. He knows more than any of us in this room. But yet he's saying, I'm trying to find out more about him. He had not yet concluded his learning. And the thing is that he could have got puffed up in what he already knew and thought that's all there was to know. And I think this is the mistake many times that we make as Christians, is that we increase the knowledge as we should. But sometimes we're so busy patting ourselves on the back for the knowledge we've already accumulated that we cut ourselves off from accumulating any more. I'm trying to stay light on this. I'm trying not to dig on this. But when you think of the 12 apostles, all of them walked with Jesus. They all knew Christ. They walked with him for 3.5 years. They had a good sense of who he was. But only one of them walked on the water. There's degrees. There's levels in this. And the thing is to know that no matter where you are, no matter where I am, any of us, there's always another level that God can take you to if you are willing to learn. Now, he said in the scripture, Jesus said, he said, I thank you, Holy Father, because you've hidden it from the wise and the prudent. But you've revealed it unto babes. What it means is that the knowledge of God, if this is the knowledge of God, God didn't just say, I'm not giving this to you. He's saying, I'm taking it back here and I'm hiding it from you so you can never see it until you humble down and come to God like a little child. He revealed it unto babes. Come to God like a little child. And then he'll begin to open the eyes of your understanding and allow you to see things that perhaps you've never seen, but you have to pursue the knowledge of God. That's why Paul said, study to show yourself approved. You have to be in pursuit of the knowledge of God. If you only depend on me to give you all the knowledge of God, all you can get is what I got. And I'm just barely scratching the surface. But if you launch out in your own time, make other time outside of church that you can pursue God in study and in prayer and in relationship with the Holy Spirit, you can increase more rapidly in the knowledge of God. Think about that. All 12 of the disciples knew Jesus, but one of them knew him a little deeper because he walked on the water. All 12 of them knew Jesus Christ, but one of them knew him so poorly, he ultimately went to hell. Judas Iscariot. So what I'm saying to you is that just knowing him, that's wonderful, that's good, and it's required, but there are levels that we have to be aware of. You can't fake it. You can't fake it. It's just like, you know, when you go to school, there's levels going to school. You start in kindergarten. And when you master the skill set of kindergarten, you're not ready for 12th grade. You're ready for first grade. There are levels. And you grow in grace. You grow progressively from level to level, from grace to grace. There's a passage in the book of John, if you'll turn there, chapter 11, that has always stuck out to me, and it sticks out in this respect even more. And again, because many times we learn things about God, we get comfortable with what we learn, and we stop our pursuit being satisfied with what we already know. John chapter 11. Now, Jesus is standing with Martha. They're just outside of Bethany. He's come back. Lazarus has just died. Jesus has just come back to the city. He's not even in Bethany yet. Martha comes out to meet him. She's the first one out there. And she says in verse 21, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know. Do you see that? I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Now let's analyze what's happening here. She said, I know that whatever you ask God, that God will give it to you. And he said, your brother will rise again. Well, if you put those two together, well, let's ask God right now then. She just said, I know whatever you ask, you're going to get it. So let's ask God to raise him up. But because she wouldn't get out of the framework of what she already knew and understood, she said, I know he's going to rise in the resurrection of the last day. She pushed it all the way out, and you'll notice she keeps saying, I know, I know, I know. Have you ever met somebody like that? You're trying to help them understand something. They'll say, I know, I know, I know. Well, bro, if you knew, I wouldn't be explaining it to you if you knew. And sometimes our lack of humility and our lack of just decreasing within ourselves prevents us from moving forward. Jesus is trying to take this woman to Bible class. She won't go. We have Bible class every Wednesday. Many of you won't go. Did that sting just a little bit? Where we line by line, verse by verse, move through the entirety of the book, explaining exactly what is going on here. I know. I know. We're all going to heaven. Well, yes, that's correct. What you know is correct. But there's a lot more to it than that. Here's what Jesus said. This is eternal life, that you might know him. Eternal life is not moving into the golden city and seeing the angels at the gates. That's not eternal life. Eternal life is knowing him. And many times we don't pursue our knowledge of him. We focus on the history, whether the history past or history future written in advance, eschatology. We focus on all of that stuff, but we don't focus on him. And we look at, well, I've already learned that, so I need to learn something else. I'm convinced that's why so many churches leave the book. They leave the Word of God. Because they're like, well, I've already taught that. I've already taught that. I've already preached that. And I know the feeling because I've taught almost all the New Testament books. I've preached the whole Bible over the past 30 years. But once you preach it, preach it again, because you can go deeper into what you had. But you don't throw this book out and bring in a better book. And that's the arrogancy of much of Christianity, is that we stop pursuing him. Everybody's looking for their blessing. I want to just find out what season is my blessing coming? God don't use seasons like that. God can bless you any day, any time, anywhere he wants to. Before Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a season. Before it was ever written, God had already told Moses, wherever you put your foot, I'm going to bless it. Now, that was Moses, I think. Yeah, Abraham. Wherever you put your foot, I'm going to bless it. No season, just blessings of God. And so, saints, we have to pursue the knowledge of knowing him. So she says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask me, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, your brother will rise again. And she said, I know that. He shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, do you believe that? Martha says to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Well, that's not what he just said. First of all, he's trying to teach her. She said the resurrection of the last day. He's trying to teach her the resurrection is not a day. The resurrection is a man. The man Christ Jesus is a person. And on some day, the person is going to perform the resurrection, but we're not waiting for some day down the road. It's all in the person of Jesus Christ. He's trying to take her to Bible class, but she won't budge. She won't become flexible so that he can teach her. He said, now, do you believe this? Here's what I've said. Let me say it again. I am the resurrection and the life, and if someone just believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. With regard to Lazarus, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, in regard to her. And he asked her specifically, do you believe this? She said, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God. Okay, that's wonderful, and that's right. It's not wrong, but there's another level. Do you see what I'm teaching? Do you see what I'm preaching? There's another level. You're talking about history and things that happens along the timeline. I'm talking about the fact that the resurrection is a person. And this person can perform a resurrection anytime that he wants to. Because it's not in a day, it's in Jesus Christ. There's so many things that we, in our everyday general understanding of Scripture, that we don't press into. to understand. In fact, there are things, as Peter would have said concerning Paul, there are things that are hard to be understood. I'll give you one, for example. And this is a theological term. That God is simple. He's simple. He's the only simple creature there. He's not a creature. He's a being. He's the only simple being that there is. And what we mean by that, what theologians mean by that, is that unlike us, we are compound beings. We have a soul and spirit. We have a body. We have different weird emotions that kind of are puzzled together in a way that we don't even understand. God's not like that. He's simple. His wrath is the same as his love. They're not two different things. They're the same thing. His long suffering is the same thing as the anger of the Lord. They're the same thing. They're not two different emotions. He's impassible, which just simply means there's no passion that affects the decisions that he made. And many times we just concern ourselves about the history of the Gospels, and that's wonderful, but do you know him? Because when you once begin to understand better, and I'm not saying I understand it, I'm just saying I'm in pursuit. And I'm not saying that you will ever fully understand it, but I'm saying you need to be in pursuit of the knowledge of God. Is anybody with me today? I want to be like Paul. Everything that I have, I counted but dung if I could just know you. Moses said, God, just show me your glory. Show me your glory. That's what he was saying. He says, show me something. You're wonderful. Everything about you is perfection. Open my eyes that I can see better. See, we sometimes we say, well, God didn't show up that day. Well, God never does not show up. God is omnipresent, which means that he's everywhere. If there's a place, he's there. David said, if I make my bed in the heavens, thou art there. If I descend to the deep, thou art there. He's omnipresent. There is no place that God is not at. And the reason sometimes that we say, well, man, I just didn't feel God. God just didn't show up. Well, it's not that God didn't show up. It's that you're inconsistent with him showing up for you. And so we can live better Christian lives if we have a better knowledge of God. It will cause us to press in and deal with our trials and our challenges better if we understood him better. And I can prove what I'm saying. How many's ever heard this? God moves in mysterious ways. No, he don't. No, he doesn't. He moves exactly according to his word. He's always consistent with himself. The reason it's mysterious is because we don't know enough about him. This has been God's complaint all through the Old Testament. He said, I believe in Isaiah 45, I am the Lord. Besides me, there's none other. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. He would say over and over to the Israelites, you have not known me. My children are sottish children. They have not known my ways. It amazes me, John the Baptist, he was the forerunner of Christ, the one to introduce Christ. They come to him first because they knew this was the time for the Messiah. They knew this was the hour that he was supposed to come. John the Baptist was the first prophet to speak in 400 years, and they knew this is the time. And so they came to John and said, are you him? Are you the Messiah? He said, no. Well, are you the prophet? Nope. Are you Elijah? None of those. Now, they're fumbling around like that because they don't have a sense of who God is. But then John says something very telling. And it's a picture of humanity right now. You have all of these Israelites who know more about God than anyone on the planet at John the Baptist's feet saying, where's he at? And John says, there was one that standeth amongst you whom you know not. Now get this. There's a crowd in front of John, ever how big it was. And John says, there's one right standing in the crowd with you that you don't know. Now that tells you something about God. All these people are asking questions. Where is he? Are you him? Are you him? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? God is standing right there, silent, not saying a word. He feels no need to show himself. He feels no need to say, oh, yep, it's me. I'm the man. He is absolutely silent. These are the little details about the personality of God that we want to hang into, because that one has helped me to be silent at times. That one has helped me so that I'm not so quick to be vocal if I don't have to be vocal. There's another one where he was talking to the Jewish leaders, and man, he had them mad as wet cats. I mean, they were angry at him. And they said, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said, I am. Now, King James, it says, I am he, but he's italicized. That the translators added that. That's not what he said. He said, I am, and that's the divine name of God. Man, they went off on him. They all grabbed rocks and bricks. Man, we're going to put you down right now, brother. Now, get this. Here's God. He's God. He's God in the flesh. They got puny little men have picked up rocks to throw at God. And he just passes, walks through the midst of them, and walks away. That teaches you something about the personality of God. Because I'd have laid them all down. I'd at least like it as a rest, speak a word, and they all fall backwards. But God, this is who we need to know. Because this is the real example of who we're going to become. He's going to make us consistent with his son, Jesus Christ, conform to the image of his son. But if we don't know what the image is, then how do we even know that we've arrived? The knowledge of God has levels. And those levels are very much consistent with our degree of maturity as a Christian. If you've been saved for, you know, say 5 or 10 years, and you've been half-stepping for 6 or 8 of them, your level of maturity is not where it should be. You have to pursue it. Just like everything else in life. I'll use myself for an example. I started smoking dope, I think in the 7th grade, reefer. And so by the time I got into 12th grade, I'm in the 12th grade. But I'm skipping class. I'm coming to class high. I'm just barely scratching by. And so even though I had 12 years of tenure in high school, my knowledge was not where it should be. And of course, we got young people graduating high school and even college now that are totally illiterate. They have the tenure, but not the knowledge. We don't want to be like that as Christians. We want our knowledge base to be equivalent to our tenure. And there are amazing tools now that we can rapidly move forward. You don't have to turn pages like the old days. The old days, you had to have multiple books open and you had to turn pages to find anything. How many remember the old Strong's Concordance and the reference numbers? I mean, that was slow motion. Now you just flick your phone up. The app is up. It's already got the Greek and Hebrew in it. You just touch it. You can move at the speed of your mind's ability to comprehend. And if you're not careful, you can move too fast, faster than that. And the mind's not comprehending it. You're just moving through it. But saints, I'm here to tell you today, there are degrees. There are levels to the knowledge of God. Don't let one achieving one level cause you to think that you've already achieved all that there is to achieve. There's always more. Let me close with this one last verse in Ephesians. Paul is presenting his prayer for the Ephesians, and really I would think prayer for any Christian. But he says, I'm praying, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Let me slow down right there. Wisdom is not the same as knowledge. Knowledge is data points of information. It means that you know this, you know this, you know this, you know this. Wisdom is how do you put it all together to make decisions. Wisdom is the use of knowledge. And Paul is praying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of knowledge of him. So this is the Paul that Paul's prayer is that God would give each one of us a revelation of knowledge pertaining to who he is. Not just the history of the incarnation, not just the history of the gospel, but knowledge of specifically who he is and what his character is. I don't know about you, but I've been in pursuit, as God has opened my eyes over maybe the last 4 or 5 years, I've been in pursuit. Of course, I still study the book intensely because you can't know anything about God except he reveal it. There's no way you can just, unfortunately, people are trying to do this. I had a dream. I had a vision. Well, you need to know what the book said. Because if your vision don't line up with the book, that was the devil. And you got no other way, no other navigation, no compass that you can tell other than what's written in the book. And so it's important for you and I then to stay in the book. But it's in the pages of this book as we read a little deeper than the superficial level that we begin to see some of the details of God. He put them there. He revealed himself. He spoke to us. In the past, he spoke through the laws and the prophets. But in this last day, he's spoken to us by his son. Thomas came to Jesus one time and said, okay, just stop. Why don't you just show us plainly the Father and it'll be sufficient. And Jesus turned and said, Thomas, have I been so long time with you and you've not known me? He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I wonder how much has been revealed to us as the last day church that we still are unaware of, that we have no idea of. So Paul says that God might give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that in your grace that you have revealed yourself to the degree for each of us that we're able to understand. You have revealed yourself. You've opened the eyes of our understanding. You've caused us to see what we could not see. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what's not entered into the heart of man, God, you have revealed it by your spirit, even the deep things of God. Help us to pursue you, Lord. Help us to pursue you that we might be increased in the knowledge. Come on, if you're able, would you stand to your feet all over the room if you're able and just reach out to the Lord. He is no respecter of persons. If you're hungry for righteousness, he will fill you. If you're thirsty, he's no respecter of man, young and old, it doesn't matter your age. If you have a hunger in your heart, he'll begin to open your eyes. And as you continue to pursue him, he'll continue to make it real for you. Come on, let's just reach out together. Father, help me open the eyes of my understanding. Help me to see, Lord, what I've not seen. Lay a conviction in my heart and life that I might pursue you, that I might seek you in the word of God and in prayer. Lord, help me that I don't become satisfied with what I already know. Help me not to become satisfied in what I've already experienced, but help me to seek for the heights and the depths and the lengths and the breadth of the knowledge of God. Come on, just all over the room. You ask him ever how you know how. God, take me deeper. Take me deeper.
Lord, you said that we will seek you and that we will find you when we seek you with our whole heart. Lord, help us to continue to seek you, Lord. And when we find you, help us to go a little bit deeper, Lord. And when we find you there, Lord, help us to go a little bit deeper. Continue to put it into our heart to go deeper in your word, to want to know you more and more. Not concerned about the things that are going on in this world and all of our circumstances, Lord, but just to look towards you. And we just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful word this morning. We thank you so much for being with us. We hope that you were blessed by the word. If you haven't had a chance to give, we do, of course, always need your help. There's numerous ways to do that on the screen. Again, we did get the money that we needed for the Pakistan van project and plus more. So thank you so much for your support in that. Amen. We do have food baskets available for members and friends. So if you need a food basket or know somebody that does, you can see Sister Boyd and she'll be able to direct you. And then also we have a prayer set coming up on April the 12th. It's a Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon. So just come out in support of that. And again, we thank you so much for being with us. Come back for the 11 o'clock service and you are dismissed.